Take one.
So what I did was basically I just took the Yad Moshe, the index to all the Gris Moshe. I looked up where he was talking about abortion, and I put together every single tshuva that he has on abortion, and I printed out the first half because otherwise this would be a lot more pages. So I want to start. So we start here with Siman Samach Bet. By the way, because the file was so big, I couldn't get page numbers. But we have page numbers on the top here, so hopefully that'll be good enough.
Pretty good.
All right. So the first Siman Samach Bet is, as Rob pointed out, Nitinat Sam Lach Umoch Lisha Kodim Tashmish Mitzad Machal Shenandu La Yiladim Cholim Shechaim Rak Zman Katzar Kebet Shanim. This woman, and you can't really blame the woman for this. This clearly sounds like a recessive genetic disease, probably Tay-Sachs. So this couple has are both recessive carriers for this disease, and they don't want to have kids because they're afraid that if they have kids, you're going to end up with a kid that has Tay-Sachs. So you're trying to avoid the whole thing. So instead, they want to basically have some sort of contraceptive. Now, the form that they're asking about in this tshuva is it sounds like a spermicide. Sam lach sounds like a spermicide.
Mm-hmm. Sam is a
drug of sorts. Lach is moist. I think he means spermicide.
Paste?
Yeah. So and umoch liisha, so I'm not sure exactly what he means by that. I think he means a female condom, not a male condom.
Umoch
liisha, he says liisha.
Right,
it's a diaphragm with spermicide.
Oh, I thought it was, I actually thought it was spermicide with a female condom. But it could be, it's a different.
Female condoms do not exist.
Oh, you don't think female condoms? Because at one point here,
female
he is going to talk.
Came out when I was in medical school.
This would be after this? Ramosha's Tavshin Yibet? Yeah, I guess that would be before. Yeah, right. Get us a year for Tavshin Yibet. This is a long time ago, yeah.
It's probably a diaphragm, and the way diaphragms are used, you put spermicide
right
on them.
Okay, so that's so he's talking about some sort of diaphragm. And again, it's called the Tashmish. Obviously, that's how a diaphragm works. You put it in before intercourse. And again, this was all not because, again, the woman is in danger. That was the Mishnah we saw 2 weeks ago was referring to a situation where the woman would be, it would be dangerous for the woman to get pregnant. It's not what we're talking about. We're just trying to prevent pregnancy because you don't want to end up in a situation where you have a kid who's sick. So I'm just going to start off and then we'll skip around as we get bored. B'davar isha asher lo aleinu, noda la kvar bet banim. This woman already had two sons. Just statistically unlikely, but also quite terrible. She's already had, both kids had that 25% chance of getting the disease, and they both got it. Right, they'll only be able to live 2 years. And the whole time they're going to be sick. Not only did the doctors say this, they were even right. That's happened with the first kid, he died. The second kid's also sick. Just like the doctor said, he says, hopefully God will heal him. V'fi divrei rofim yesh lachush al kol holadot shetitaber mi'ata shiur machala zot chas v'chalila. Right? She's saying any time that this woman gets pregnant, there is a statistical chance that one of them is going to, they're going to have this disease. V'gam ha'kvar hu trei zimni shel rabbi v'efsa ken yesh lachush v'nish'ati im uteret l'sham b'moch. If, and they asked me, is she allowed to use a moch? Some sort of barrier contraceptive, probably a diaphragm, as you say.
Yeah, it's 52. There's no one coming yet.
Yeah, okay. Or be'ofet she'imshechu be'oto makom kodem ha'tashmish be'ez esam. He's saying, or they use, it sounds like spermicide. Shemo she'lo titabel ve'asam hulach she'en sham davar ha'chotzetz. Right, there's no actual like physical barrier, but it's just something you put inside. She'lo yikhanes ha'zera la'arechem. Right, this is exactly a spermicide. Right, it doesn't prevent physically sperm from being able to enter the uterus. All it does is it just ruins the sperm. Anyway, and the Agav he also happens to tell us that apparently these are children's 3 and 4 because children's 1 and 2 apparently are still alive. One of them is a boy. One of them is a girl. This man already was mekayim his mitzvah of puru revu, so there's no more mitzvah of puru revu anymore.
Can you ask a quick question?
Yeah.
Just the sentence about in the middle says the gam hakvar who trays in nishal of every kipsik in nishlachos. That means, and it happened twice. And what is the translation of that?
Yeah. So kvar trays in already happened twice. I think it's shel rabbi v'ifsa. They were afraid that it's going to keep going or something like that.
I'm just trying to understand
it. Yeah.
I've never been able to understand his Hebrew.
Well, Moshe Feinstein's Hebrew is a yeshivish Hebrew, so it's not like it's not a modern Hebrew. It's a more lumdish Hebrew, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
And he throws in a lot of other phrases in there that would make it either Gemara phrases, some Yiddish phrases, and some English masquerading as Hebrew. English or Yiddish masquerading as Hebrew. Yes. You love that stuff, no?
I just try to understand.
Yeah. So that's what he's trying to say. When I first read it, I thought he was trying to say that for Pikuach Nefesh, right, in general, in order to make assumptions statistically, and I use the word statistically loosely, in Halacha, right, we assume you have to have a rov. You have to have at least, not a rov, sorry. You have to have, in order to make a chazaka, right, you need three. But for Pikuach Nefesh, you only need two. So I don't think that's what he's trying to say there, but it could be that was also the point. But, all right, whatever. Vishafti, I answered. Shebemoch asua, using a moch, some sort of physical barriers asur. Afla metilam makom sakana, even for people that would be matir makom sakana for an isha, kiva debekan ein la sakana. Right, this woman is not in danger. The only danger here, the only fear here, is for the kid. So. So in that case, I can't argue that you can use some sort of physical barrier. Physical barrier was limited to situations where there is danger to the woman. He says, not only that, I would even prefer, and I want to emphasize this before I continue reading, it's not Rav Moshe's Tshuvas at one point change when he talks about Tay-Sachs. So it could be when he first was describing Tay-Sachs, he wasn't really familiar with what that disease was. Also in this Tshuva, I'm assuming it's probably Tay-Sachs. Like, what else would this be? It seems like he might have not been as familiar with the exact details of the disease, and he may potentially became more familiar a little bit later. One great example of that, which I don't think is this tshuva, I think it's elsewhere. Actually, it might be here. It is this tshuva, at the end of this tshuva, so I'll prove it to you in a second. But he's clearly not familiar with the details of the disease, how it's transmitted, and potentially also with the severity and with how it's actually manifests itself clinically. Anyway, he says, so for this woman, it would be a sakana for, it's not a sakana for her to get pregnant. And v'lavlad ayotel tov lo shenolad mishalonolad. It's better for people to be born than not to be born. Some more philosophical argument. Dehanodim ba'in le'olam haba mishenolad v'lechad madama af mishenizra b'sanhedrin daf kof yud. Fine, he quotes a Gemara that says that apparently if you in order to be able to make it to olam haba, the minimum criteria is you have to at least be born. If you're never born, you're never going to make it to Olam Haba. So good for these kids to be born, even if it means they'll die very quickly, because they'll make it to Olam Haba.
So he's saying that a moch is not, he advises against a moch. That's just because?
Because there's no danger to the woman.
Right, but this is just because what?
No, so he says, the reason why you're not allowed to is because the only... there's a problem with shchatat zera. That's the background information here. There's potentially an issue of some sort of like wasting seed, right? Wasting sperm. So I have a Mishnah, right? That's what we saw 2 weeks ago. The Gimel Nashim Misham Shademoch. There are three women that are allowed to use it. Whatever those situations were, it seems like the bottom line. We'll have a much longer discussion about it, I think, in the next tshuva. Yeah, in the next tshuva. But these three women were all women that if they got pregnant, it would be dangerous. So he's arguing here that since this woman, it won't be dangerous for her, you don't have this heter. And he also throws out there, this is like sort of a side comment, not really relevant to his point. By the way, I know you're going to feel terrible about the fact that these kids are born and then going to die very quickly, but it's actually really philosophically better for them to be born and then die. Okay. Again, I want to emphasize, again, because I think it's important to emphasize this more than once while reading this tshuva, I am not certain that Rav Moshe was aware of exactly the severity of this disease. I want to skip to the next paragraph. He talks about that a little bit more. But okay. Aval, l'inyana meshicha. Right? I just skipped to the next thing. Besam, she'en da v'chotet. But this is all with some sort of actual physical barrier. L'inyana meshicha besam, when I'm using a spermicide, basically, she'en da v'chotet ben azera shelo yikanes l'rechem. There's no physical thing here. Rak she'noter b'ze koach ha'olada. Again, I'm not sure he says it takes away the koch ha'olada. I'm not exactly sure that's how those spermicide works. You can potentially make the argument that that's how the newer spermicides work, right? Newer spermicides basically just ruin motility. Older spermicides, I think, actually kill the sperm. But okay, fine.
Well, it reduces the chances of pregnancy, I guess.
Is what yeah, but I don't think it's actually saying that, right? I don't know. Maybe that's what he means. Overall, there's less chance.
I think so.
Could be. Shesh ba'zer ha-mistaver she'eno ela k'kos shalikrin u'meila adif mikos shalikrin de'af she'asr li'ish u'mishum de'kimet she'ne'kal mamesh dami l'saros. He said this maybe is similar to there's something called kos shalikrin. Kos shalikrin is I drink something and that for whatever somehow makes me infertile. All right? He says it's even better than that because here the man's not infertile. Here you just put a cream in the way or you put something, whatever, and that somehow killed some stuff. Vaf the mashma mi the Eben Ezer the Huda Raisa Gambiki and Pruvu Avshin Lokinain Shami Enof Mako Rak Keshadamila Sal Shumi Ekamiza Mamish Veloba Hadilomika Kalazel Shapamze. Anyway, then he says, Vigam, you tell Mistavel, Shekima Shanase Achal Shiyatza Zeramene Ish. Since this is not something that's being done after the Zera already went into the Rechim, this was being done before. Ein Lach Shiv's it's not considered something that the man did. Everyone agrees that a woman is allowed to drink some sort of potion that will make her infertile, at least temporary.
Plan B.
Plan B. Or even better than Plan B, just a regular OCP, just a regular contraceptive pill.
Yeah.
I think it's after.
Saying that she does it after.
No, after it leaves the man.
Hold on, is that what he means? Hold on a second.
Whatever this action happens after.
Hold on, maybe that's what he means.
That's why I said morning after the morning after pillar Plan B, because it has to be something that she does after the sperm leaves him, not before. Perhaps
that's what we're talking about. That this
after yeah, it after. Sounds like
the killing of the sperm happens after. It's not he's not taking anything. His sperm is viable, right? And then she has this thing, spermicide within her, and without blocking, right? It's not a diaphragm. He doesn't like diaphragms. He's got the spermicide. The sperm leaves him. He's like, okay, the man didn't do anything that's improper. The sperm left from him into where it's supposed to go.
Right.
At that point, it was killed. So it's not on him. It's on her.
You see, so that, I'm confused about that, because then what would be the difference between that and the diaphragm situation? We're assuming the first case is
it's got to go into where it's got to go.
Yeah,
it's got to. It has to go into maybe not the uterus, but yeah,
it's possible.
No,
it's possible.
I wonder if he thinks.
I'm just giving you the
no, I wonder if he thinks that he did the spermicide afterwards. Is that what he's arguing? If he did the spermicide afterwards, then there's no issue with him.
I don't think he's saying that she put the spermicide in it. I think you're saying exactly what it means, is that shenase acher, that the killing or whatever happened after kind of mimela.
Right.
That's one way.
And why would that be maaseh ba'isha l'bisha?
Hold on. If she puts in after, isn't that?
I don't think it's that effective, but I think it still does something, right, Rob? You agree with me? Who knows? We don't have any OB guides in our show, but I think if you put in afterwards, it's still effective to some degree. But I don't know. Right.
It's got to go pretty, yeah. It's got a long way to go. Steep climb uphill.
And frankly, the spermicide itself is also a barrier.
So he's arguing because it's davar lach, because it's just a cream, then it's not a real barrier.
But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, again, depending on how you're, he's decided, he's obviously clearly defining barrier as like a physical. I'm willing to accept that part of the argument. I am curious, though, if he thinks that if that's what he means.
But one wouldn't use like a moist drug, let's say, as he's putting it, an ointment outside of spermicide to stop pregnancy from happening. That's probably, on the things that are affected, that's probably fairly.
Vaseline probably wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work.
Right.
I think that's his distinction.
Yeah, got it.
But again, so I'm not 100% sure what he means, if he thinks that the spermicide was put in afterwards, or if he just means, since the sperm are getting killed after they've already been deposited into the uterus, then maybe it's not in the uterus, sorry, in the vaginal canal, right? It's a whole different thing. So that's what he thinks to say. Anyways, what he does point out over here, which is interesting, which sort of to my point that I don't think he really knew what the severity of Tay-Sachs and how it was transmitted, and I know for a fact he doesn't know the second one, Because if you skip to about a line and a half after the last highlight, the next page on Kufnun Bet, Velokashi Avro Azman, the Bet Shanim, and maybe we'll wait 2 years or so, Me'ayom, Shebe Yachad Korov, the Dalit Shanim, Shesh Likvot, Shetabri, right? Bezat Hashem, Veloye Malacha Shviacholakaim, Vela Ari Velotanach. Right? You say, what we should do is wait 2 to 3 years, they'll get better. And then you won't have this issue of transmitting the disease. Obviously, genetic diseases don't care about how healthy you are. That's not how they're transmitted in generally. So again, I just to illustrate the point that I'm not sure if you would necessarily have made the same argument as Khalif of an argument, especially the point about better that the kid gets born versus not born, if he was more familiar with the with the intricate details of...
For a lot of people didn't know about genetics.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm just pointing out that, again, one of the things that we have to do when we're thinking halachically is we have to take the tshuvot that people write, try to figure out what their logic was, their halachic logic was, and then we have to figure out how to apply them to the medical mitzias, to the actual facts of the case. Right? That's where we have a little bit of fun, where we get to try to think. It's not just limited to what exactly they said. Because very often, A, circumstances change, or B, they got the circumstances wrong, right? Either case, but if there's Svara, you know, it's Ramesha Svara, Ramesha knows how to learn, right? Or knew how to learn. So we use, our goal is to try to get his mahalach, his thought process, and then figure out how to apply it in a, if the circumstances change, or were different.
Also, from what he's saying here, something like the morning after pill, right? Shouldn't be a,
so morning after pill is not a problem because kosher shirikrim is not a problem.
Correct. Right?
So that's anytime
he puts that out as fact, he's not even debating it. That's fine.
Yeah, kosher shirikrim is a mishnah already, right? The kosher shirikrim is a woman basically just drinks something that makes her infertile. That's mutter lechatchila. That's not a problem.
Magic potion.
So you should put. So then also because morning after pill, again, you could potentially make a difference here. Kosher shirikrim is. Before you get pregnant, what if I drink something that's going to cause the abortion to occur?
So
or in modern context, like methotrexate, right? Take some sort of drug.
That's difference between Plan B.
That's
or
different than Plan B.
Whatever.
So Plan B is basically I just take a bunch of. It's basically just taking.
It prevents the pregnancy.
Yeah, but it depends how you define pregnancy, right? If you're defining pregnancy as implant of the blastocyte into the uterus, then it prevents that from happening. That's the idea. So if pregnancy is it kills a fertilized egg. Then it's an abortion. If pregnancy is it kills something that started growing in the uterus, then it's not an abortion, right? Depending on how you're defining terms, which is part of our discussion, part of the trick, halachically at least, trying to figure out what the issue is. So kosher iklin is just general is like an OCP in general. It's taking a drug before anything got fertilized. Mm-hmm. So Plan B may or may not be kosher iklin. Right, it might already be an abortion thing, in which case, it might be different.
Okay, fair enough.
Right, so that would be the difference between doing just regular birth control, which would be okay across the board, versus doing
emergency contraceptive.
Exactly, morning after pill or Plan B or whatever you want to call it.
Hmm? Quick translation.
Yeah.
Close together births. We would spell with a dalid, the hoof, as in like one after the other in succession. Yeah. Yeah, give her some time to breathe. It'll be okay.
Yeah. All right. That was the first tshuva. Just interesting, just to get a basic idea over here. So first of all, again, the most important piece to the first tshuva was that he differentiated between a woman who it would be dangerous for her to get pregnant versus a woman who just doesn't want to put a kid, a fetus in a, or whatever, a baby in a uncomfortable situation, to say the least, right? And even within that context, he's again making a difference here between something that is a physical barrier versus something that he's not calling a physical barrier, but something that's, you know, lach is apparently not considered a physical barrier. So spermicide is not a problem. All right. Now here's why we need another date. Tafleish tzadihei.
I'm working on it.
All right. Tafleish tzadihei. Okay. Now you'll notice this tshuva is written in Lublin, right? Leuvan. I'm not actually. Maybe that's actually not true. Lupa.
Where are you? Where are you?
Hey.
Yuvan.
What is that?
Yuvan.
Yuvan.
Yuvan. Creation.
What? Oh, that's what he means. Oh, forget it then. Nothing else.
What's Yuvan?
Yuvan. The creation.
Oh, he's just counting a day. No, because there are some tshuvas apparently from Moshe that are very, very long. Apparently, because at one point he was in Russia, he was stuck somewhere in a room, so he couldn't go anywhere. So he wrote really, really long responses. This one happens to be a pretty long tshuva. I don't know if that was
1935.
Yeah, so this could be this tshuva's from there. Yeah, so this tshuva is really old. And again, the really long ones are very often is because it was the earlier ones when he was stuck and he couldn't go anywhere.
Can you just go through the what's the name?
Tashmish b'moch, right? So moch is some sort of physical contraceptive. In general, it's translated as condom, but again, in this last tshuva, we weren't convinced. Here's where I get confused. Because what's the next word?
Avar.
It took me so many tries to get this word. What is this word?
Rubber.
Do you know how long it took me to figure out what that was? It's rubber. Sakana lali sabit. Right. So now the first tshuva was a woman that doesn't have. It's not dangerous for her to get pregnant. The question was for the baby's sake. Here, it's dangerous for the woman to get pregnant. Okay.
Right.
So now we're talking about tashmish b'moch ube rubber.
So this is rubber for him or rubber moch? Because mochs are made out of rubber. Weapons are made out of rubber.
So I don't know.
Okay.
But that would be the question.
I think that's the differentiation. The moch would be her bearer, whatever it is.
Right,
the rubber is condom.
So we can read the tshuva?
The rubber.
The rubber.
The rubber.
It's because it has ions in there. He has to say it like that. He has no choice.
Here's what it says.
Here's why I'm not 100% sure that's right. Or Moshe was just predicting futuristic methods of contraceptives, not contraceptives. Because he's talking about, at one point here, he talks about whether or not you could see it from the outside. So something you put inside the woman, you could see it from outside. That describes a female condom, right? Female condom you see on the outside. They stick out.
Okay.
I've researched this for a talk I gave to Smicha students. Based on the pictures that I got, the female condom is, there's an external component to it. A diaphragm obviously is completely internal. I don't know about obviously, but it's completely internal.
In my various examinations.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So let's talk. V'daval isha shetzivu la harofim. Right. So this is a woman. Doctors have commanded her shetizaher minhit abil, that she has to be careful to not get pregnant. Mishum shesakanu hula im muteret leshamesh b'moch shebeit atashmish. So is she allowed to use a moch? Moch again. It's probably some sort of condom during tashmish. Okay. Now.
Okay. Interesting. Specifically, and this is obviously, I think it predates IUDs and whatnot, right? Those came up much later. So this has to be during intercourse specifically, as opposed to something that's
implanted. IUDs wouldn't be a thing.
Way later.
Yeah, I don't know when IUDs historically were introduced. So I don't know when IUDs were introduced, but it's definitely not IUDs.
No, I know he's not talking about it, but yeah, I was just wondering, because he made that distinction at the time of this.
No, I don't know if you kept, if you keep it in there all the time. I'm not sure if it would necessarily make the difference or not. I don't know if it would matter. I think because IUDs is anything. We're going to separate this from things in the vaginal canal to things inside the uterus.
Okay.
So things inside the uterus, I don't think anyone's going to care about. It's things that are outside that would be potentially an issue.
Karen.
Yeah. In the pesach tshuva, even as a simchah gimel sefkatan beis, huva machloket ben tshuva ta'achronim. There's a machlokes apparently between the achronim, the betshuvas chamdash shlomo matiyom, betshuvas rabbi kiva eger chsam sofer. Asli. By the way, just from starting from this, he is now going to write a grand total of this tshuva keeps going for approximately, I think, about 10 pages, maybe more. There are some. This is a very, very long tshuva. This is primarily the one that we're going to be reading today, obviously. I'm going to skim through it, skip certain parts. There's one interesting thing about Purim specifically, since Purim's coming up, I'll do that one a little bit slower. But the rest of these, especially since we've seen a little bit of these sugyas, we'll probably go a little bit faster so we don't just get bogged down in detail.
My curiosity is peaked.
You're peaked.
As to Purim.
Purim is a fascinating connection. You have to love
Purim and this.
Moshe has amazing analysis going on over here. It's fascinating. Like, you read something like this, and you're like, I wish that he was stuck in communist Russia for a little bit longer.
Wow, that's
this is amazing. This is nice stuff. It's also the base of Levi. Mr. Levi has a Pirush on Chumash, right? Obviously, yeah. Levi Salvechik, Rav's great grandfather, has a great Pirush on Chumash. It goes from Sefer Bereshit and like a third of Sefer Shemot. Why?
Got up.
No, he got better.
He got better.
He probably wasn't feeling well, so he couldn't learn Gemara. He couldn't think that much. So he was learning, he was writing a Pirush on Chumash while he wasn't feeling so good. And then apparently he felt better, so he stopped writing the Sefer on Chumash. It's like horrible that he felt better. All right. Anyway, so right. So, let's start from the Rashi. Right. Next paragraph. We did see this Rashi. This is that mission that we were talking about in Yevamos of Shalosh Nashim LeRameir. Shesova sheyesh ktsat chashash sakana. Since we have a chashash sakana, mutaret latet moch b'makom tashmesh. You're allowed to use some sort of physical barrier. Kesheim eshamshot kedei shelo itavu, so that they won't get pregnant. Ein sham be'imkein kol shekein. It's the same case, right? A woman that's going to get sick is going to be, or maybe he says just a small chashash that they're going to get sick. This woman is a real chashash that she's going to get sick. Okay, fine. Beseda. And Ve'afle Rabbanan that argue with Rameir in this Mishnah. Should we look at this Mishnah? I didn't bring the Mishnah. Should we look at this Mishnah quickly so we know what we're... Let's do it. Here, let me go get it. You've almost stopped.
Best light show.
For adults only this year.
Oh, without a doubt. But we knew that going in.
Okay, here's a Mishnah. It's supposed to be on the top of the page. Where'd it go? Oh, it's just going in the Braisa. This is in the Mishnah somewhere, no? Fine, let's just go with this. Tani, Rabbi Bibei Kameh de Rav Nachman. All right, Rabbi says. Sorry, Rabbi, I can't see these words, they're so small. It's Rabbi Bibei Kameh de Rav Nachman, right? Rabbi Bibei Kameh de Rav Nachman tells us this Braisa. Shalosh Nashim Misham Shas Bemoch. Three women are allowed to use some sort of physical contraceptive. Ktana, a girl is young. Mu'beret, someone who's pregnant, u'minika, someone who's breastfeeding. Tana, shema titzavel, Tana, maybe she'll get pregnant, shema tamos, maybe she'll die. Mu'beret, shema ta'ase, uvaras, sanda. A pregnant woman can't do it either, because we're afraid, perhaps fear, that if you, that she can, that for whatever reason, the sperm can somehow be hostile to the fetus, and it can kill the fetus. And minika, someone's breastfeeding, shema tigmo bana biyamas. Maybe she's breastfeeding with a right kid, still can't eat regular food. She gets pregnant, she has another kid, she doesn't have enough milk for both kids, and so the kid's gonna die. Which is, right, this is the Mishnah. Okay, Bryce, I should say. Okay, so, and Rashi here says, I should quote Rashi here. They're allowed to use some sort of physical contraceptive. They're allowed to put something in inside while they are having intercourse so that they don't get pregnant. And Tosfot, which is a little bit long, so I'm not going to read it now, but Tosfot does, Rabbi Natan does not like this Rashi. He says it's obviously not what they mean. The only way they would possibly be matter this, you cannot put something inside before. You could only do something afterwards. Afterwards, you can wipe. That's the heter, which is a big chiddush.
It's not what the Mishnah said.
It's not, well, they're debating, what they're arguing on what exactly they meant. He's qualifying the Mishnah, right? And this has to be a situation where you're cleaning up afterwards. Okay? That is the basis for this entire tshuva. Well,
this depends on the definition of moch.
Which we can't either seem to figure out over the course of this.
I think we're more on one side of it, though. That this is a whole different story.
Rashi sounds pretty clear to me.
Yeah, no, Rashi's clear. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi.
Because?
He just doesn't think that, he says, because if you have a moch inside, then it's the same thing as being mashchit zera. Right? He says that's whatever the vera vero no none is, whatever. So he quotes Rashi. Initially, this Rashi be Yevamos, right? She says, "Sova sheyesh ktsas chashas sakana mutaret latit moch b'makom tashmesh." You're allowed to do it. K'shem mishamshos k'dayu shalei sabul. Im kein Koshakim, Beisha should be stuck in Babu of Leda, Machmas Machalasa, the Cholesha Shemuteret. Right, this woman, obviously, she's allowed to do the same thing. And he goes on this whole tangent here on Shitas Rashi, which I don't think we necessarily need to do, but if you want, I gave you the whole tshuva.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
How does the riff of the Rambam read that price?
That's a good question.
I'm just curious.
I think they pass them like this price, though. How do exactly? I think most Rishonim read it like Rashi.
It sounds like Rashi.
Most of them are going to read this like Rashi. There's a further part to this Gemara. There's a Homachlokas here, a Meir, and a Chamim also, which also gets involved. This gets a little bit more complicated, but bottom line is, I think most people end up passing like Rashi. Most Rishonim pass like Rashi. All right, so part of this question is also that if this is a fear of a natural process and that's why they might die, question is do we justify that fear halachically? Right? Again, remember the fear here is that the sperm is going to kill the fetus, right? The fear is, it's unclear exactly what this fear is. So the part of the argument here, the Chavim disagree with the mayor, part of the argument here is they're saying that, listen, like, it's great that, you know, you have this chashash that they had this certain fear. It's like, listen, you know, Shemayka Lachmi, we're going to, this is just a natural way of doing things, and, you know, God will protect you, right? It's also very similar to the argument about why women are potentially, a little bit similar to our argument of why women are allowed to get pregnant in the first place. Right? Why is it no mitzvah for women to get pregnant? So we can't give you a mitzvah, at least according to the Meshech Chachma. I mean, we're not going to obligate you in a mitzvah that could put you in danger. Right? It's dangerous to get pregnant, so we can't obligate you in this mitzvah. Okay, so then what's the heter to get pregnant? Right? God is going to protect you. It's just a natural way of doing things. Right? It's also like that mishnah that we saw, that once the fetus's head already pops out, then it's mishamayim kagadfi, and then we don't get it. At one point, we're making like these natural order, natural law sort of things, and then we're staying out of it. All right, whatever. So I want to, let's skip to enough bit. This is page Kufnan Dalit, next place that you'll have highlights. Now, behine b'tam shitas Rashi, right? Let's try to understand, what is Rashi talking about? Shekol nashim asot yesh beis shitot. There are two ways of thinking about this. One is, the rian tosvos in Ksubas, so v'lshu mitam, the kimon da mochu b'me'ea, since the moch, this physical barrier, is inside of her, b'eta tashmish, so Ri is the one who's going to be machmir here. He says the reason why this is potentially going to be a problem, meaning why can't everybody do this, right? Rashi is telling me that not everyone can do this, only these women can do it. So why can't everyone do it? Because this, even though it's inside of her, still that's considered being basically mashkidzela, just, you know, doing etzim ve'aban. But because these three women, it was dangerous for them. So for these three women, we'll let them get away with it. Right? How can we possibly allow it? It's a very simple solution to this problem. Right? You're saying, yeah. He's saying there's an issue of, we're afraid there's something dangerous here about women getting pregnant, so I have a simple solution, right? The sure way, the best contraceptive, at least according to any sex ed class, is abstinence. It's a very easy way to ensure that you don't get pregnant. Absolutely. Other than Jesus' mother.
Nature, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
Or nature in general, not just humans.
How can we possibly let you use a moch?
What is this
Baal
Kal Eitzim
V'Avanim? That's the expression. The expression is like you're just throwing the seeds on
all sorts of things.
Yeah, on this random things. Sorry, I should have clarified that. Upasha Shizel Tam Rabbeinu Tam B'Yavamish, right? That is the reason for Rabbeinu Tam and Yavamish to Sovel, the Moch B'Shat Tashmit Asurot Afa Shalash Nashim, right? The reason why Rabbeinu Tam argues on Rashi, right? The Tosfos that Rav didn't like, right? He says, I have a very simple solution to your problem. Just don't do it, right? And then you won't have all of this. Do you want me to go slower? Sorry, I was going. Okay, great. He's going to keep talking about that. Let's skip a little bit. Let's hear what he has to say. He wants to say a new chiddush over here. What does levatala mean? What does it mean wasting it? It doesn't mean preventing pregnancy. Right? Because obviously there are certain situations where you won't be able to impregnate a woman. What does levatala mean? There is absolutely no use for this whatsoever. Says there are two different situations. There's one thing where you're trying to get pregnant, right? That's one purpose. Another one is a mitzvah, right? You're supposed to, whatever it is, you're supposed to be together as man and wife. And so that's not considered batala. So these women, even though the way we're potentially talking about doing this would be, in theory, levatala, here it's not levatala because there is a purpose. The purpose is mitzvah ona. Here's where it gets a little bit tricky, though, right? Because you still have to clarify, and he doesn't really do it, but you have to, I wouldn't say qualify, I have to change it to modify. That's only true, the mitzvah ona is only true, that heter is only true if, for whatever reason, I'm afraid that she's going to get pregnant. But if I'm not afraid that she's going to get pregnant, then I'm still going to have my other consideration of preventing pregnancy. Right, so there's two things, but they overlap. There's what do you call it? The
tautological argument.
No, the two squares with the middle.
Venn diagram.
You have a Venn diagram, right? You have one situation where it's purely to get pregnant, one situation where it's a mitzvah ona. But if you can do both, then you should be doing both, and you can't limit yourself. Meaning, if there's a mitzvah, if in general, let's go in general, right? In general, you have to anytime that you that you have intercourse, it has to be capable of producing a kid. It has to be able to get pregnant in theory, even if currently, whatever reason, biologically she's not ovulating, whatever it is, still it has to be something that would in theory be possible to have a kid, right?
Okay,
that's one. The other thing is. However, if let's say for whatever reason that I cannot do that, let's say she's going to be dangerous for her to get pregnant, right? So I cannot put her in that situation. So I still have another consideration, and that is a mitzvah dona. There's a mitzvah of being with your wife. Okay. So just because I can't do A doesn't mean I can't do B, okay. Right? So I'll do B even though it is such a way that there is no way possible that A will occur, okay. Right? In other words, using a moch. However, if I can do B, right, and A, then I have to do both.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah?
We want to send the overlap at all times.
What?
We want to send the overlap at all times. The Venn overlap.
Yeah. Ideally, we're in the overlap. Me too. You see, that I'm specifically making a Venn diagram, even though he didn't talk about this just because I'm anticipating a future issue, right? And that is, what if I want to just collect sperm for, let's say, IVF, or for testing fertility, or for something else, right? That's the other consideration. Here we're only talking about half the Venn diagram, right? We're talking, or two-thirds. We're talking about both, and we're talking about...
35, certainly we're not thinking about that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Artificial insemination was around this, was I think earlier than this.
But yeah,
but you'd still be the same thing, right? You collect sperm and you just shoot it up there. So you would, in theory, still have the thought, but it doesn't, that's not this tshuva. But this tshuva is talking about two-thirds of this Venn diagram, right? One part is just ona, impossible to get pregnant. Two part is being able to do both. Then there's the third one, which is what if I'm just focusing on the pregnant part, but not the mitzvah ona or whatever, being with your wife. V'hine, Rabbanan, right? So Rabbanan disagree with her mayor. V'hine, Rabbanan, the pligele. I skipped to this paragraph.
Middle on the left.
Yeah. V'hine, Rabbanan, the pligele. V'asi, lezot b'chut. Yesh, the stapik. Im pligia ikris farasa v'sari de aflet zolech havi lebatala im efshal leholti leholid beitzia kazu. Maybe they're disagreeing with the whole concept, right? Any time they don't have a Venn diagram, they tell me any single time that you are sleeping together with your wife, and there is no way she can get pregnant from this. That's aser. Oh, shegam heim sabri kabbalazu bezem ach lezotim b'chutz asiri mishum shemase azria b'chutz lo shayach lemase haona derak hadisha b'fnim hutzorach haona. I have absolutely no idea what this means practically, but I can at least say out loud, speak out what he's saying. His point is the mitzvah ona of being with your wife is to sleep with her. There is no chiyuv to deposit sperm as part of the mitzvah ona. So do part A and not part B. What's the problem? I could think of a couple of problems, but that's his point. He said, maybe that's the argument. And then if we go to the next page, the fizeh nicha. Yeah. The fizeh nicha. The kivan detam v'lazer hu machmashu letzoch mitzvot ona lo havi lebatala. Since the whole idea here is, if it's a tzoch mitzvot ona, it's not going to be lebatala. Heshivu lo demaseh hazriya eino mitzvot ona. Right, the actual depositing the sperm is not part of the mitzvot ona. Ela maaseh achel lahashchit shelo letzoch shuka maaseh el ve'onen shehashchatam haitzah shelo letzoch ela hashchatah be'alma v'nimtzah she'amu tamah b'mashi himshilo lemaaseh el ve'onen. The argument back against that, which is the next paragraph, I just highlighted the one line because then he goes into a whole tangent about it. But the one line, the argument against that is this right here, though, is ki'in geder hitiru sofa mishom tchilatan. We have a concept in general that I will be matir the end because of the beginning. In other words, I have to allow you to be able to do mitzvah tonah. Since I have to allow you mitzvah tonah, there's also a ending to the mitzvah tonah. And because I'm going to allow the middle part, I will also allow the ending, even though you are right. Technically, that part is not relevant to the mitzvah tonah. Okay. Fascinating read on the Gemara. Now, I just want to skip, since we're running very, very late, and I don't think we want to do this again next week. We'll move on next week. He basically just keeps going through the sugya, and he basically just starts collecting Rishonim and being medayik from all the Rishonim that they agree with Rashi. And they basically agree with this concept that there is with this Venn diagram concept. That's the idea that we get through most of this. Then, here. This is just, again, this is Purim related, and the only reason we're focusing on this. Anaf Zayin. This is page Kuf Samech Aleph. The Ayin Turei Evin. Turei Evin is always a fun parish. Sof Megillah. Right, the end of Masechtas Megillah be'ashmatot. It's not even in the regular parish. It's in the back. Behuva gam. Again, he was stuck in a room. He was reading the back. Behuva gam v'chsam sof v'chsam sof. Also quoted she'ester haita yir'a l'shemesh b'mochi machashverish. Okay, let's get some background information before we start reading this. Right, Esther was a good Jewish girl, arguably married to Mordechai. Okay, so she's married to Mordechai. And now she goes and...
married to Mordechai?
Yeah, the Gemara says that Esther was married to Mordechai. So Esther's married to Mordechai. And now... what?
That's even in the art school page. Even art school holds.
The argument is... bat le Mordechai. Somehow they use the word bite, and that's what whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mordechai is married to Esther, which I don't understand because the Megillah says Achashverosh collected all bitulot, right? All the virgin women. I'm not exactly sure what. So she was married. I don't get it. Whatever. Details are irrelevant. She's married to Mordechai, and she's also with Achashverosh. Okay. Now she has a technical problem. She's married to two men, and she's, in other words, she's sleeping with two men. One of them is an onus, right? She's forced to sleep with Achashverosh, so she's not asur to Mordechai. The only woman that, if she gets raped, is asur to her husband, is one that is married to a Kohen. Right? A Kohen gets into a sticky, tough situation. But otherwise, you're still mutter to your husband, even if you're getting raped. And she was effectively, that's what was happening. Except, at one point in the Purim story. Right? At one point in the Purim story, you ruin it. Because what does she do? She goes over to Achashverosh willingly. Right? So it's not a rape anymore. Now she's willingly, basically cheating on her husband. That's the drasha of the Gemara, kasher avadati, avadati, right? Not only does she, in other words, not that she was afraid of dying per se, just the literal meaning, but also, I am now not going to be allowed to stay married to you, Mordechai, because now I'm willingly going to sleep with another man.
When did she sleep with
Willingly? So she, willingly is when she goes...
when she went to the courtyard?
Yeah.
Okay. Which she invited him to the parties.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the background for this analysis. Now it's just fascinating the things that you're assuming here. You're gonna love this. All right. Or maybe not, Rob. I tell you, Esther has a problem. She wants to make sure she knows the yichus of her child. Right? She has to know who it belongs to. Right? Is this a Jewish kid? Is this a kid that comes from Mordechai, or is this a Jewish kid, I guess. But is it coming from Mordechai, or is it an Achashverosh kid? So she has two options. She has to use some sort of contraceptive with one of them, right? So he says, she's scared to use some sort of physical contraceptive with Achashverosh. So obviously, because Achashverosh realizes that she's using some sort of contraceptive, he might not respond kindly. So instead, what did she do? Shem Shabemoch im Mordechai. Right? She this way she won't get pregnant from him because of Avchana. Avchana, in other words, she wants to know where the kid belongs to. Right? Obviously, she could have just used done the other way, if it's possible, which again is what Tosas was arguing in Yavamis, to just wipe afterwards, and that would be effective. Ain't Shaykh Yira, what's the problem, right? Just go to the bathroom afterwards, and you do you. Right? Achashverosh will never know. Right? After Achashverosh, she obviously cleaned herself very, very well. Anything she could have done to make sure she wasn't getting pregnant from Achashverosh, she obviously did. Right? In that case, if that's what she did, then in theory she could have slept with Mordechai normally. Right, because she using her contraceptive method with Achashverosh, so any kid is obviously Mordechai's kid, not Achashverosh's kid. He says, still, mishum democh she'achatash mitzach lomah she'enu bar shelot isabel. Right, clearly he's aware of the fact that even with a moch achatash mish, clearly it's not as effective as moch during tashmish. V'lachen hutzach lomah she'mashem b'mochi Mordechai shem shelo hayta yochal lismoch al moch she'achatash mish de'achashverosh she'sham mishem Mordechai. Great. The Afrashi Pirish Biksubis, Taflam and Zain, Shisha Mizanim and Sham Shis Memoch, Lachel Beila, Komakum Sov Yester, Insach Lam to Gimel Chodashim, Mikomakum Hutzachatu, Lamakin Gadishalik Shalab Yehuda. Fine, all right, let's get. The Od, let's go to the next highlight. Halimor, I want to read this whole paragraph. Omasha Kasa Marsha, right? This is a Marsha, Megillah Dafyud Gimel, Shinis Abu Machashverosh, Achel Shines Chalamodachai. So after she went over to Achashverosh, when she was enticing him, when she was trying to save the Jewish people, shuv lo hayta mishameshet b'moch. After that, she was no longer using contraceptive. Tema gdola. This is a big issue. V'yev shakla lo malkein. He doesn't like the fact that the Marsha says this. Chada. First of all, why? Divide matay yachal shemesh machashverosh b'moch. Hayta mechuyavet lasot ken le'olam. He says obviously, if you could have used some sort of contraceptive with Achashverosh, she should have done it. The kol iso chito mifosh bekra machmas she yasira akum et ben bitchashu yisrael and first bekedushin and bivamis. Fine. So there's a yichus problem. We don't want to mix up kids here. So obviously you have to use some sort of contraceptive. How was she allowed to put herself in a situation where she would get pregnant from Achashverosh? Lavo leikra iso imaya epshal la leshamash b'moch. Number two, halamodachai nescha benisa. Right. This is now a historical issue. And Mordechai, she gets asked to Mordechai in Nisan. The Shnat Yudbet Lemalchuto, right? That's year 12 of Achashverosh's rule. The Imkein, Nimtza, Shinolad Del Yavash, right? Del Yavash is born, Liba de Malsha, Betevet the Shnat Yud Gimel, on the 13th year of Achashverosh's rule. V'chol Machot Achashverosh HaYirak Yudalit Shana. Achashverosh only rules for 14 years. K'mifurosh B'megillah Daf Yud Aleph. The take of Malach Del Yavash. He was only under 2 years old when he got when he started ruling, right? When he told them to start building the Beis Hamikdash, he must have been under 4 years old. So it's completely ridiculous to say that a kid under 4 years old was able to give authorization to the Jewish people to start building the Beis Hamikdash.
But it wasn't very young, it was courage. So I think, no, so the names get, I think at one point, there's two parts of this. There's the historical side of this, which doesn't necessarily add up with the Medrash side of this. Oh. And even within the Medrash side...
Within the Medrash is consistent.
I think, yeah, at least according to this presentation. Also, I think that he gets a second name at one point, so if I recall correctly. Okay, he says the Marsha was clearly wrong. I'm skipping to the next highlight. Here, let me just read the whole thing actually. Let's argue to Evan. Esther was scared of using some sort of contraceptive. Right, maybe Achashverosh will tell that she would be able to figure it, would feel it, right, and she'd be in danger. Obviously, she did whatever she could, wiping it after Tashmish, she did. Not when the Jews were when she was coming to beg for the Jews, but take of kishelachna b'shnat sheva. That's not in year 13, but rather in year 7. L'machuto, and therefore v'haya ben sheva kishemalach. He was 7 years old when he ruled. And according to Rav Moshe's calculation, he's now actually 9 years old when he tells him to start building the Beis HaMikdash.
For real? Rav Moshe actually take these midrashim so seriously and go through this?
So his point is not...
This is wild.
So his point is, more than anything else, his real point is, irrespective of the historical analysis with this, which it could very well be at that point, like, I don't know if he was aware of the historical analysis or not, yeah. But it's not really, it would not necessarily be relevant. The point would be, if according to the Medrash analysis, she's using some sort of contraceptive, right, then I have proof from some early source that a contraceptive is okay. That's the point.
I totally get it. Totally flabbergasted me that the acronym
are using this, like, oh yeah, this happens all the time, of course.
It's using midrashim and that she's using.
This is the classic age-old question of what do you do with how do you think about the you know, when we have historians' description of years versus midrashic description of years, how does that affect
all
anything?
All these details about how, you know, like Esther's hygiene, it's wild.
Yeah, no, so I'm saying, from there, though, he's understanding whether or not he can use contraceptive. It's like a fascinating analysis.
I know.
Right? It's like but they do this all the time. It's like the Medrash of who's the mother, right? The one where it got fertilized, or the one whose egg it is, or the one who carried it, right? So what's one of the Midrashim you use for this? Devorah, right? Because what's the Medrash for Devorah? Rachel was supposed to be didn't have Binyamin. She originally had a girl. She was carrying a girl. She got fertilized, whatever. The fertilization was female. And then Leah, I guess, saw somehow that Rachel was going to have a girl instead of another boy. She didn't want her to have less boys in the Shvachot. And so she prayed, and they switched them. Okay. Wow. By the way, depending on how you learn that medrash, you have a source for one of two different things. Either what happened was the fetus is switched, in which case you have a mar makom for gestational mother versus genetic mother. Or what happened was the eggs didn't switch, the babies didn't switch, the gender switched. If it was the genders that switched, then you have a potential mar makom, not a very good one, but a potential source for if you undergo transsexual surgery, then your gender will change halachically. Right? Depending on how you're learning that medrash, you end up with two very different sources.
That's actually an interesting topic to explore. The transgenderism.
I have a whole book on it.
The
medrash seems...
A lot of these things are out of midrash.
I'm going to go with.
There's a lot of very... That's a whole different... That's a whole different list of discussions.
Conservative here. Yeah. I feel good about this one.
No, I don't like something here.
Neil's uncomfortable. We can't make Neil comfortable at 9 o'clock at night.
That's just an interesting side topic.
Yeah. So I, honestly, what I really... he goes through a whole analysis here. We'll skip to the...
Jewish eyes, through Jewish lens.
Sure. I'm just not sure for that.
I mean, Midrash, I'm
just not sure that Midrash is the place like, now we got it.
I'm with you.
Yeah. It's really late, so I don't want to go through this whole thing, but let me just... I'll just give you the punchline on this side, Kuf Samech Bet on the left side.
Right, so he went through this huge alichot that we just like totally skipped through. But lahatir blishum pivkok isha b'sakana lalis abe, a woman that's dangerous for her to get pregnant, l'shamach b'moch shebeitza tashmish. She can use a physical contraceptive during tashmish, but l'smoch hakol poskim negadat rabbeinu tam. And to agree with everybody else, like basically what we saw with Rashi. And he says, yesh makom lahatir, if you skip to the next highlight, af bikisim shelovesh ha'ish kodem ha'tashmish, right? Even a male condom would be okay. What?
I like it.
He does point
pocket,
out
pocket pouch
kissing, yeah. And he points out aval, and again we're not exactly sure what this is. Be rubbers shemechanes haisha letoch chachma, that a woman puts into
pessary.
What's pessary?
Pessary. It's a plug you put into the cervix. It's a rubber plug.
Oh.
Pessary.
Okay, maybe.
That's what rubber is.
Okay.
That's what he's calling a rubber.
Okay, so that. However, he does point out, if you could see it outside of the vaginal canal, what is derech tashmish with the moch? That's when you cannot recognize it from externally.
Where's he getting that from?
This is just a svar that he's making. He's saying the potential argument that I have is maybe if it's literally internal. Avalim eino nikal mibachutz, but if I don't recognize it all from outside, Moshe shemati shu nichnas beomek, this is what I hear, this is how it works, I efshal le'arot bachutz, od yotel mimoch, bad ayu kemoch umutal. In other words, a female condom would be an issue, because you could see it externally. He's saying there are two options here of how to think about this. One is that you'll be matir even a male condom. The other way is you'll only be matir something that's internal to the woman.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
So that it's a part of this very long analysis that we sort of skimmed through. And then he points out there might not actually be a difference between whether or not you can recognize it internally or externally, because he says, "Akopanim nikal b'mishamish hayad u'malanu nikal b'riyah b'mishamish b'hayad." He says, you know, as soon as you, start, whatever, touching anything, you'll immediately notice there's something in there. What do I care if I notice it because I could see that it's inside versus outside versus, I could feel it. Well, what difference? It's inside. That's not considered inside. And I skip to the next page. Bottom line halacha: im efshal b'moch o b'rabba shetikana se'isha b'rachma be'ofen shelonin kalmi b'chutz. The best one is if it's totally internal, you can't see anything outside. Ta'aseke mitashmish. Achim efshal lefnei alasim shamoch b'rabba be'ofen shelo yenin kalmi b'chutz. If it's impossible to use some sort of device that would be completely internal, says, even in that case, you're even allowed to use something that would be recognized from outside. So bottom line, Rav Moshe will allow when a woman is it will be dangerous for her to get pregnant. And again, we emphasize the fact that specifically when it's dangerous for her to get pregnant. And
he goes on afterwards to back to the condom, it looks like, even.
I'm saying, even in that case situation. Yeah, but you. He said, ideally, you would do something that's solely internal. But if not, if you can't for whatever reason, then you can even use something that is external.
No, a male condom, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So that would be
ideally
external.
Is...
That's the external.
That's the external. Okay. Or, right, because he doesn't have a female condom.
Right.
Oh, but I was just sorry. That's the extra.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. I'm with you.
But that's only because, based on the previous tshuva, only in a situation where it's the woman that's in danger. If we're talking about preventing pregnancy because we're afraid of the fetus, right, then he's not willing to be matter with a contraceptive of any kind, with a physical contraceptive, internal versus external. But something that's not a physical contraceptive, like spermicide, he would be okay with. Yeah? That was intense, right?